This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:06 in the evening, and for our first story of the hour, former media advisor to Datuk Seri Najib Razak, Paul Stadlen, is expected to be charged with money laundering offences soon, and, well, since he's not in the country at the moment, he will be charged in absentia.
The Edge has quoted sources saying that the charges involve an amount of 15 million ringgit. It also said that investigators had tracked the source of the money to Najib. So, some background regarding Stadlen: he is the former boss of APCO Malaysia, which was the PR company that is said to have managed Najib's past publicity campaigns. And now he is one of the few wanted persons who are linked to the 1MDB scandal.
Kita cari dia sebab dia salah seorang yang terlibat dalam siasatan kita 1MDB. So hari ini kita dah keluarkan kenyataan untuk mencari Post Island. So kita harap dia tampil ke depan dah untuk kerjasama dengan SPRM. So saya tak boleh reveal the detail, but ada kaitan dengan 1MDB.
That was Chief Commissioner of the MACC, Datuk Sri Muhammad Shukri Abdul, speaking to the press last November. They had, at the time, issued a statement asking the public to help track him down.
According to the MACC, Stadlen was last known to live at the Loft Central condominium near KL Central, but he's reported to have fled the country immediately after GE14.
Yeah, that's somebody who, you know, had his ducks in order, I suppose. And this is kind of related to Najib's social media strategy. We were just talking about this yesterday, about how there's been a revamp, how he has successfully turned himself into a meme. And interestingly, he's turned himself into, I guess, a positive meme, right? It's ironic that somebody who used to advise him back in the bad old days of quinoa, you know, is now officially going to be charged for money laundering while his former boss continues to be, well, a social media phenomenon.
So this guy was reportedly paid about 3 million ringgit a year, or rather his company was. And he was also strangely the one who told New York Times, when they reported that Najib and his family had a rather lavish lifestyle, that Najib got to lead this life from inherited wealth, right? This claim, of course, caused a rift between Najib and his siblings. They denied that Tun Abdul Razak Hussein, a civil servant, ever accumulated such wealth.
So there is that. Next up, some advice from the palace asking us to preserve the environment.
Well, I'm sorry we use nature as a credit card with no spending limit, overdrafting animals to extinction, stealing your chance to ever see their uniqueness or become friends with them. Sorry, we poison the ocean so much that you can't even swim in them. But most of all, I'm sorry about our mindset, 'cause we had the nerve to call this destruction progress.
Where did we find that clip? I've never heard that before.
So the Agong has said that all Malaysians, not just the government, must be responsible for preserving our environmental assets while we journey towards modernization and national development.
The Agong was quoted saying that the attitude and weakness of the people themselves, Malaysians, has led to pollution and destruction of the environment. And he also said that the environment is a major component that's required for comfortable living, which is why we need a united effort, regardless of race, religion, strata of society, to look after it.
We've got some audio here of Nithi Nesudarai, President of the Environmental Protection Society Malaysia, speaking to Juliet Jacobs on the bigger picture about reducing consumption at the individual level for the benefit of the environment.
We collected data from more than 550 households, urban households, in this country to find out what the impacts of their lifestyle was in terms of their ecological footprint. Mm-hmm. We collected data and we also ran another 3 capacity building seminars highlighting the data we had received. And very quickly, if I can make a point, is that while overall in the Living Planet report, Malaysia's footprint is about 3.6, 3.7 global hectares compared to the sustainability level of 1.7 global hectares. So we are consuming more than 2 planets. In general, when you look at the urban households, we realize that the consumption is easily more than 5 to 6 global hectares per person, which means we are consuming more than 3 planets for those of us living in the urban areas.
And how do we address that? You know, I mean, how do you go about through your, I mean, your work through the organization? How do you actually, you know, get to that kind of, you know, grassroots level and tell them that, you know, change needs to happen?
Well, in grassroots level, it's very important. And, you know, there are certain things, you know, like, you know, basically we got to reduce the amount of electricity we use, the amount of water we use, the amount of petrol, you know, we put into our cars. We've got to shift to public transport. The amount of meat we eat as well. Meat is a contributory factor. Consumption of meat is a contributory factor to the footprint. And, of course, also the waste we generate. So yeah. We just got to cut down. And that's at the individual level. Of course, this can be aided. It can be facilitated and fast-tracked, of course, if there is a national effort also pushing this from the top down.
You can find the podcast by searching the title Securing Malaysia's Sustainable Future, and that conversation was with Niti Nesadurai, President of the Environmental Protection Society Malaysia.
So it's interesting to me that this is coming from the Agong himself, right? Yeah. It's coming really from the highest strata of Malaysian society. But I wonder whether, and this is not to dismiss the influence of the Agong, it's just that we hear this message so much. Everybody says it. Everybody's constantly, you know, we all know really in our heart of hearts, or really just in general knowledge, that we're supposed to be recycling. We're supposed to be consuming less. We're supposed to be, you know, just don't litter, things like that. We are aware of these things. And yet, I don't know whether the messaging has gotten through to the point where enough people collectively are changing their behaviour.
And I wonder if that message necessarily gets down to the individual, whether we still think that responsibility is in the hands of other people. Interestingly, I think what the king has also done is that he said that as the caliph tasked to look after the environment, the responsibility was borne by everyone. So tying the aspects of religion and, I guess, environmental preservation, that's also a very interesting thing that I think we don't usually see.
Let us know what you think. You know, what kind of message is finally going to get us to that point where we are thinking about our environment, you know, where we are willing to make those kinds of behavioral changes? If you are already making those changes in your life, what was the thing that, you know, really got you over that hump that made you decide, okay, this is how I want to live? You can call us 7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we're going to be talking about the SST and the cost of living. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We've been asking you for your thoughts on changing our behaviour for the sake of the environment. Basically, the Agong has been quoted as saying that all Malaysians need to be responsible for preserving our environment. And we want to know, you know, if you've started making those changes in your own life, what was the impetus for it? You know, what was the message that finally got you to think, okay, this is a change I want to make? Again, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Our next story is about, I guess, the verdict of the much debated SST.
SST akan dibentangkan di parlimen sebaik saja selesai perbahasan titah diraja di dalam mesyuarat pertama, penggal pertama, sidang parlimen ke-14. Cukai SST akan dilaksanakan mulai 1 September 2018. Tertakluk kepada semua urusan perundangan diselesaikan.
So according to reports, Deputy Finance Minister Dato' Amiruddin Hamzah has admitted that the implementation of the sales and services tax has not managed to reduce the prices of goods.
Utusan Malaysia reported Amiruddin telling a ceramah that Putrajaya was aware that implementing it would rake in only 21 billion ringgit annually, which is not as high when compared to the previous GST, which would have seen a potential 44 billion ringgit collected.
Perhaps more pressingly for many of us, I think, he was also quoted as saying this loss of revenue of 23 million ringgit, you know, also didn't cause the price of goods to go down. He reportedly said the situation was so dire that the government was forced to form a special committee comprising members from the Finance Ministry and the Ministry of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs in order to tackle rising prices.
In the past, we spoke to Adli Amirullah, the coordinator of the Economic and Business Unit at Ideas, about how much the SST could realistically help decrease the cost of living. And Adli has always held the position that the tax was never going to be the silver bullet to help our increasing cost of living.
I have been saying that abolishing GST will not solve cost of living problem. Abolishing GST and introducing SST might help to reduce or to dampen cost of living, but will not solve the problem of cost of living. People keep saying that the thing is expensive, and then things is not going down. But the real question here is, we have to ask, what is the major or main element in cost of living? Of course, cost of living involves the needs of the people, like food, houses, and also car to some extent. And I will say that food price, especially even before the, during the time of GST, the prices of food actually have been exempted. Even until today, the SST has also have exempted the same list of exemption that the GST had before. But it is almost impossible for the prices to change because of the taxation itself. The prices may change because of other factors, like maybe the input cost of the producer and so forth and so on. So that's one thing. And the second thing is on housing. I mean, housing itself is a huge, big area that we can talk about, isn't it? The prices of houses have been increasing tremendously over the past 10 to 20 years. For me, this too is the main component of cost of living. By arguing that SST did not help cost of living to reduce, I mean, that is something that misleading, I would say.
So it hasn't exactly been a smooth ride for the SST. I think when the GST was introduced, there was understandably a lot of pushback at the time. People didn't necessarily want the cost of goods to go up. But once that adjustment was made and, we had to kind of adjust to something else once the SST came into play, I think there was definitely that hope, right, that all these increased costs would see some sort of, if not reversal, then adjustment to reflect the fact that, hey, we've told you that this is one of our primary concerns, this cost of living issue, and you have said that you're going to be introducing measures to kind of assist with that. So it hasn't been a smooth ride, and I think throughout the time that it's been implemented as well, it has not exactly been received with great acclaim.
And I get the impression from the Pakatan government that they kind of sort of knew that it was a policy idea that wasn't always economically sound. But it was a political promise, and that was the one that really pulled them through the election, you know, aside from other huge factors. And yeah, it's just something they had to promise. But I think maybe now they're starting to slowly step out of that PR campaign and stepping into another one, perhaps admitting that, okay, maybe you guys are used to it now, but we got to say that SST really doesn't work to bring down costs. But now let's figure out something that does solve that issue.
I think what's worrying about it is that it hasn't... It is not addressing a problem that exists on either side. It's not helped to bring down the cost of living, nor has it helped to earn the government more money. So, you know, it's something that if, in fact, the quote from the deputy minister is accurate, because it was said at a charama, but if he did in fact say that, then you're right. I mean, that is the beginning of an admission from the government, right? That is a beginning of acknowledgement as well that, okay, look, maybe this was not the thing that we wanted it to be.
I just wonder how they will manage to, and whether they can actually step back from this.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, because the BN government functioned in a way that they thought that GST, people had already moved on from GST, or we were already able to tolerate GST and then still have them in power. But I wonder if that might be the case with SST as well. Will we be able to, or rather, will Malaysians vote the Pakatan government out because they just failed with the SST?
So we want to know, has this reflected your experience with the SST coming into play? Have you noticed the cost of living or the prices of goods going up or down or not changing? You know, when you eat out, does it affect that experience? Let us know. We want to hear from you. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And before we head to the news, just to close off this section, we're going to be taking a look at Karl Lagerfeld, the prolific designer who was creative director for both fashion houses Chanel as well as Fendi, passed away yesterday, and he was reported to have battled pancreatic cancer. It was a very long, very illustrious career. And amid the tributes and all the messages of condolences, the internet also wants to know what's going to happen to his extremely pampered and beloved cat, Choupette.
I never thought that I could fall in love with an animal like this.
Yes, okay. So in recent years, Choupette has become almost as iconic as Karl Lagerfeld himself. She's a fluffy 7-year-old Burman cat, has her own social media accounts, and even has a Wikipedia page dedicated to her life.
And in case you're wondering about the level of public interest in Choupette, she has 167,000 followers on Instagram alone at her handle, which, in case you were thinking of a new follow today, it's at Choupette's Diary. She never sleeps alone. Karl Lagerfeld once told CNBC that she doesn't like loneliness, and so she has several personal maids attending to her.
Here's some audio from the interview in 2017 where Lagerfeld explains how he fell in love with the cat.
A friend of mine gave it to one of my mates. I'm leaving for 2 days. Could you keep it for 2 weeks? When he came back, I thought, I'm sorry, Choupette is mine. I don't give Choupette back. And she became a world-famous star, you know.
Yes. Huh?
She has her own fortune from things she did in Japan and in Germany for cars and things like this. And whenever I go somewhere, children say to me, how is Choupette? But, you know, you have to see her. You would fall instantly in love with her because she's unbelievable. With this huge sapphire eyes and this beautiful white fur, she's unbelievable. Huh?
How has she changed your life?
How that changed my life? You know, it changed my life in a way that I never thought it could change that way. I think I became a better person.
In an Instagram post that Choupette dedicated this morning to Lagerfeld, she said that he was a true icon who touched the lives of everyone he came in contact with, especially me. He will forever live in my now broken heart and the hearts of all his supporters around the world.
I know it might be easy to mock, but you know, to say that someone or something turned you into a better person because of that relationship, that's kind of what love looks like, right? Even if it's between, you know, Karl Lagerfeld and Choupette. So now the internet is worried about what happens next to the cat. Ashley Schuden, who runs her social media accounts, said in a statement to People magazine that Choupette is coping with the loss the best she knows how. She is choosing to put her best paw forward and hopes that her loyal fans and followers will continue with their outpouring of love to help ease this pain.
Choupette may also soon become the richest feline on the planet. There are rumours that the cat will inherit at least a portion of Lagerfeld's £150 million fortune. The designer himself had previously hinted at this by describing Choupette as a rich girl and heiress in interviews.
It really wouldn't surprise me. Choupette has been such a muse for Karl Lagerfeld. I mean, she has been an inspiration for him in his designs.
Yeah.
In his eponymous brand, Karl Lagerfeld, she features quite prominently as well. So it wouldn't surprise me to know that he had tried to take care or would have wanted to ensure that she was taken care of in the event of his death. And he was elderly, so it makes sense.
Well, and in the early 2000s as well, I think he did mention in an interview that if it was legal, he would marry Choupette.
By the way, I have to say, it makes sense. I'm using that phrase insofar as it makes sense for somebody to, you know, leave a portion of their fortune to their cat. It wouldn't be the first time that a rich, rather eccentric person has done something like this. But it's interesting that in the wake of Karl Lagerfeld's death and kind of the impact that has to the world of fashion, that so many people are worried about Choupette. Says a lot.
Yeah, and I think I guess that love for Karl Lagerfeld has now spilled onto the cat, if anything.
And we've got some messages that have come through on the subject of SST, with this from Mohammed Shani Abdullah saying, all taxes, including company tax, are paid by the consumers. It is citizens' duty to pay taxes, which is spent to provide for public goods and services. Tax is the sum of the cost of providing it. However, you know, the tax is intermediate.
Okay, and we have another message here from Tina Karan who says that I don't mind paying extra tax to government that works and not rob the nation.
You can keep those messages coming. You can call us as well, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.